Top Stuff, the Rock Antenna Heavy Metal Podcast. Enjoy exclusive interviews with your favorite metalheads. Please welcome.
Hello, how are you doing?
Great. Thanks for taking the time to talk with me today.
Of course. That's why I'm here.
Great fan following the band for around 15 years, so I kind of jumped at the chance to talk with you today.
Really? Okay.
Before I get to the exciting new album I had the privilege to already get to listen to, I would start with a little icebreaker, if that's okay for you.
Okay.
Coming from a rock station, I would ask you, what is your favorite rock or metal song? And it can be one of your own, if you want.
What is my all-time favorite rock song?
Yes.
You mean One by Metallica.
Why exactly that one?
Such a brilliant composition and lyric and music video. And that was around the time that I found metal music altogether. So it brings back a lot of memories. I went to see Metallica and Guns N' Roses in Kansas City in September 1992. And One was the last song they played before the encores. Completely blew my mind. I don't think we would be where we are at the moment without that band.
Thank you for telling me that.
Absolutely. And about a year ago, we were playing a festival in, I think it was in Belgium. And after the last song, I walked off the stage and there was James Hetfield giving me a pat on the back. And all I could say was like, holy fuck. Never meet your heroes, they say.
Your new album is called Yesterwind, and I know in general you like to tell a kind of a story with your music. So what kind of story are you trying to tell with the album?
We are trying to tell a story which celebrates time, memories, humanity, and mortality.
There seems to be a kind of longing for the past. At least that's what I got out of the booklet with all the old-timey photos of you and the band. Did I understand something wrong there, or is this kind of in there?
Not so much longing as recognizing that we are a part of time. We are a part of an unbroken chain of human beings. Like you had a father who had a father who had a father who had a father. It must be an unbroken chain of generations for millions of years for you to exist. And all our ancestors, they have had their own stories, their dreams, their sorrows, and they don't exist anymore except as atoms scattered all over the universe. And there is something profoundly comforting in that fact. So that's where the connection between the past and present comes to be. And that's what we want to celebrate on this album.
Where did the inspiration come for that? Was that always something you wanted to write about, or was there a moment you thought, this is it?
I remember seeing a YouTube clip. I mean, inspiration can come from anywhere, but I saw a YouTube clip which had some filmed footage from the late 19th century. I think it was 1899, from a beach in Paris, in France, and they had colored it. And it made such a huge impact on me, because suddenly it wasn't like this distant past, another universe, another world. It was actually like it was being filmed yesterday, even though it was so long ago. And it gave me this really funny tickle in the back of my head, like, what's going on? I'm feeling something that I cannot explain. And since I cannot explain it, I don't have a word for it. So we have to invent a word to describe this feeling. Yesterwind.
Okay. I won't ask you to name a favorite song, because I know that's something like asking a parent to pick a favorite child. But is there a song on the album you think you did something especially interesting with?
I could say that there are a couple of songs that turned out to be even better than I expected. The songs that I thought had great potential, I was very excited about it. And then when we got them mixed, I was like, this is so good. Much better than I've ever hoped. And one of those songs is track number 7, The Children of Atta. I think what the Tongan choir did on top of everything, it's just magical. There's something going in that song that really does something to me.
Can you explain to me a little more what this song is about, how it came to be?
I read about this true story in a book called Humankind by Rutger Bregman a few years ago. And it had this story about the Tongan castaways, it's called. It's 6 kids in the 1960s who got stranded on a desert island called Ata in the southern Pacific. And they were there for 15 months. So they are the real life version of the Lord of the Flies, the famous film. And they got along just fine. They survived and they got rescued. Some of them are still alive today. And I just thought that this is such an inspiring, beautiful, true story that the world needs to hear. And luckily we have this medium named Nightwish that we can bring the, to everybody's attention.
So thankfully, not really like the book Lord of the Flies.
No, on the contrary, because it's a very common conception that if you take a bunch of human beings and put them together in an isolated place, they become savages in the most horrible Darwinian way. The children of Atta, they are a perfect example that this is not the case. And there's also a lesson to be learned there somewhere, that if they got along, I think we could all get along on this planet as well. Because planet Earth is also an island, so.
Did you experiment on the composing side of things with the album? Any additions or alterations to the typical Nightwish sound?
All the familiar elements are still there. The band instruments, the two vocalists, the three different choirs, the orchestra. So not that much. You instantly recognize it as being quintessential Nightwish. But of course, we tried some new elements to keep the whole thing interesting. You can hear some 80s vibes in some of the songs, like track number 4 and track number 7. So a little experimenting, yes, to keep it interesting.
Sound 4 was The Day Off, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That was the one I was kind of catching on, because it is really synthy in a way.
Yeah, it just follows the story that we wanted to tell. And we thought that these pounding drums, this pulse going in the background, and then very 80s synthy kind of vibe would to tell the story. It's so catchy. And the message behind the song is so wonderful. And it's also something quite different than what Nightwish has ever done. So it's going to shock a lot of people, hopefully in a good way.
Can you tell me in your own words what the message about specifically this song is?
The song is about fear mongering and controlling people with fear. And that's what religious leaders, political leaders have done for millennia, and today, especially media. It's something that rubs me the wrong way every single day, because even though the world is still filled with problems that we need to address, there are some terrible goings on. We are being fed this nonsense constantly about you have to be afraid of the end of the world, and we're living in the worst times ever. The world is coming to an end. Y2K, the end of the Mayan calendars. How many times have we been predicted the end of the world? And it's never happening. So the song has a very optimistic, positive message under it that even though there are so much going on that we need to address in this world, don't forget that you are extremely lucky to be alive. You have a few decades in the sun to live your life, make the best out of it, and try not to fear all the time.
You might have, with that, answered my next question already. But we are stationed from Germany, and so I would like just to ask you if there's something you want to say to your German fans, maybe excitedly waiting for your next piece of work.
What I just said is the most important message on the album. So if you didn't get it, listen to it again, because it's important.
Maybe just around 10, 20, 30 times should be enough.
Whatever it takes.
Finally, we are blitzing through my questions here. Is there anything you would like to talk about that I didn't ask you?
I'm just glad that I got to say out loud the most important themes of the album. But there are 12 songs, and it's a huge one. There's so much that is hidden beneath the surface that you will find after dozens of listenings. So this album, I think, is something that really needs time to get really into. But it will be rewarding in the end, I promise you.
What you say reminds me of something. As I was reading down the track list, many of the songs are quite long for modern pieces of music. So 6 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes. Was that a deliberate choice, or did it just come out that way?
The lyrics, they take what it takes to tell the story. And sometimes you want to put some instrumental pieces in between and all that. it's just the last thing we want to think about. You know, is this radio friendly or is this too low? We just don't give a shit. We've been doing this for 28 years. We have never cared about this. Why would we start caring now? And I think it shows tremendous open-mindedness from our record label that they are completely okay with us putting out Perfume of the Timeless as the first single, which is 9 minutes long.
If it sounds great, it will be played, even if it's 9 minutes long.
All right. Cheers for that.
I'm sure you have to talk to many more people today, so I won't take up any more of your time. Thank you. And I'm excited to hold the album in my hands if it's out.
Thank you so much. It was so lovely.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Tough Stuff, the Rock Antenna Heavy Metal Podcast. Comment, like, and follow us. For nonstop heavy metal music, check out our Rock Antenna Heavy Metal web radio stream. For more information and all podcast episodes, go to rockantenna.de/heavymetal.